Welcome to the Calvary Came Through broadcast from Chattanooga, Tennessee. We invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes to listen to a message from the Word of God by Brother Ronnie Brown. Join us now as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and how Calvary can come through for you.
Welcome to the Calvary Came Through broadcast. This is Brother Ronnie. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Kings chapter number 2. 2 Kings chapter number 2. And we'll read verses, a rather long passage here, verses 8 through 13. It says in 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 8, "And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, and so they went over on dry ground." Now he's talking about him and Elisha. "And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou shalt see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they were still went on, they talked, and behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took a hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces." Verse 13 is our main focus, main emphasis here. "And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan River." For just a little while, I want to preach to you on standing by the bank of the Jordan. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we love you. We thank you for this awesome opportunity to preach your gospel, to preach your word. God, I pray that you'd help me to be an encouragement. Help you. I pray that you'd empower your word to strike at people's hearts and call. They may be standing on the bank of the Jordan River, standing on debating on whether to make that choice and die to self and go into the new land and go into a new ministry, go into a new aspect of the Christian life. God, I pray that you'd use your word to help them today. And God, we love you and we praise you. God, whatever happens today, we give you all the honor and glory because you alone are worthy. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. When I read the passage where Elisha is standing on the bank of the Jordan River, I can't help but think of that song that was sung, that old hymn that goes, "On Jordan's stormy bank I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie." The refrain starts off with this, "I am bound for the promised land." Now we know, of course, that the song is referring to standing on the edge of this life and looking on into the heavenly land. And I hope that you can say with me, "I am bound for that promised land." Hey, you're saved and on your way to heaven. You're going to go there someday. But here we find Elisha in our text, and he's standing on the bank of the Jordan River. But he's not longing for the promised land of heaven. So much has happened in his life to bring him to this point, and God has been molding and shaping him, his life through the ministry of Elijah to bring him to this point. The whole focus of God is to bring him to this bank of this river and make him make a choice. He stands there on the banks of this winding river that feeds the Dead Sea, and the river represents a death, a separation, if you will. And all through the Bible, the Jordan River is a type of death. It's a type of separation, separating us from what God has promised us, the promised land. It's a moment of separation. I believe that God brings us to the same point in our life, us to that moment of choice. We have to make a choice. Are we going to believe God and go in to possess our possessions, or are we going to balk at God and turn away from the bank of the Jordan River to choose whether to go back into the land of promise and possess the possessions that God has already promised us, or turn back into the wilderness, or just and live a life of just surviving the Christian life instead of thriving in it. Is that you today? Well, let's follow the example of Elisha here and see what all has happened to bring him to this point. First of all, notice a missing companion. While standing there, Elisha found himself alone. He's standing at this bank, and for the first time in 10 years, what seems to be the ministry of Elisha and Elijah together, the past 10 years, for the first time, he finds himself standing alone. We can't be sure exactly how many years, but some people think it was about 10 years. And Elisha had personally witnessed at least 2 of the 8 miracles of Elijah. And doubtless Elijah had spent many an evening by a campfire recounting to Elisha how God had met needs and how God poured down fire from Mount Carmel and how God multiplied the oil and the meal in the barrel through that lake. I mean, just telling about all the mighty works of the past. But now Elisha is alone. He has a missing companion. This companion has been guiding him, discipling him, if you will. Dawson Trotman, whose ministry from the 40s and 50s really has impacted my own life, was very much into this discipleship. Not only seeing a person saved, but going on and discipling, seeing them grow in the Lord. I think of an instance he talked about where he was driving down the road and picked up a hitchhiker and ended up taking that hitchhiker and leading him to the Lord. And after he led that hitchhiker to the Lord, he quoted Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He prayed with him and sent him on his way. Some years later, he's driving down that same stretch of highway and sees another hitchhiker and picks him up. And it's not long before he realizes that this is the man that he picked up several years ago, with the same foul mouth, with the same blasphemy on his lips. And he's wondering, what has happened? This man in his life, he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. And now, what? Look at his life. What's happened in his life? It seemed as though Dawson wanted to go to Philippians 1:6 and cut it out of the Bible. God didn't complete the work that he began to do in this man. But Dawson began to read on. And even in verse 7, it says, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Now listen, we shouldn't give the new convert a little pat on the back and wish them well and leave them on the doorstep of this world. Listen, we're to take them under our wings and disciple them and to grow them and to watch them. That's what I try to do in my Sunday school class. I want to see them grow in the Lord. I want to see them change and be more like Christ and take leaps for the kingdom of God. That's what we see here. Elisha's been doing this whole time. But now he's without that companion. Elijah has been helping him and urging him on through this Christian life, but now there's no companion. He has no companion. Only was a companion of instruction, but a companion of inspiration. Not only that, but inspiration. Look at what Elisha requested from Elisha. Or he asked him, what would you have from me? And Elisha said, I want a double portion. What did he say in verse 9? He said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Now, Elisha is asking for a portion of the inheritance that belonged to him. That phrase, double portion. You know, when I was a kid and mom would ask me, how many potatoes, cream potatoes did I want on my plate? I'd always say, well, give me, Lord, a double portion. That's not what that means. Not 2 scoops of potatoes. That double portion is the rightful inheritance of a firstborn son. A rightful inheritance. Listen, Elisha's saying, I just want everything that God has for me as your chosen successor in the prophetic ministry. And no, is he asking for money? Hey, is he asking for fame and great power? No, he asks for that spirit. Listen, I just want what God has for me. I want that rightful inheritance that Christ is entitled to me. I want to possess my possessions. I want all of the promised land. The children of Israel never conquered all of the land that God had promised them. I want all of what God has for me. And what did he ask for? Not money and fame and power, but his spirit. This spirit here is that human spirit. Not necessarily the Holy Spirit, but the human spirit. You know, when I remember the ABC sports and talking about the spirit of competition, the wide world of sports, and how that man in himself has a spirit of compassion or whatever we see in society. You remember when 9/11 and there was such a spirit of giving in our nation towards that end. Here Elisha's saying, I want that same kind of spirit that Elijah had. I want that same same zeal, that same vivacity and vigor and spirit that's inherent in Elijah. Boy, that's what I want for me. God, give me the spirit of Ken Trivet. God, give me the spirit of Lee Robertson, of all these other preachers in my life. God, I want a portion of that spirit. I want that same zeal for the lost. I want that same fire. Give me the spirit of Ian Paisley. Give me the spirit of Jonathan Edwards. Give me the spirit of Charles Spurgeon. I want that kind of spirit. For example, in Ephesians 1:17, it says this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now these believers in Ephesus, they had the Holy Spirit. They had the Holy Ghost, the Spirit that comes upon us and we are baptized in when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's talking about for God to so move in my heart that not only is the Holy Spirit working in it, but my spirit, my zeal, all of my life and vigor going in towards in the same direction. That's what Paul is praying for them. Their own human spirit to would come in line with the Holy Spirit. And that's what Elisha wants. He said, man, I want my spirit. I want that spirit of Elijah. I want that same enthusiasm, that same zeal for the Lord. That's what I want in my life. I think about what Evan Roberts said, that great revivalist in Wales. His prayer was, oh Lord, bend us. That's what needs to be bent. My flesh, I need to bend myself to the yielding of the Holy Ghost. Hey, listen, if I'd be more spirit-filled, then I'd sin a lot less in my life. I'd follow the Spirit more in my life if I'd yield my old sin nature, my old carnal flesh to the Holy Ghost. But now we find this companion of instruction, this companion of inspiration gone. Gone. Now he finds himself alone standing at the river. Oswald Chambers put it this way. He said, if you want to know whether God is the God you have faith to believe Him to be, then go through your Jordan alone. Now listen, it's easy to live off the companion's inspiration. It's easy to live off the companion's instruction, but now they're gone. Now they're gone. You may be in that point, and I found myself at that point. I'll never forget when I was living in Atlanta, I had a man named Rod Zwipke who was influential in my life and helping disciple me. I was a very carnal Christian, living a dual life, living a God-forsaken hypocrite's life. And Rod took me under his wing and began to teach me and disciple me and train me. And but there was a time when I got married, I had to leave Atlanta. I found myself up here in Chattanooga. I was without Rod Zwipke. Nobody to direct me. I was on my own. And that's when I had to take those steps on my own. And God has something for you right here and right now. Not in the past and not in those companions of instruction. You've lived off them long enough. Why don't you stand on your own two feet and follow God? Why don't you come to a place of your Jordan River and say, I'm going to go with God. No matter if Elijah's behind me or not. No matter if my pastor's behind me or not. I'm going to follow God. That's what Elisha's now. His companion was missing. Not only that, but the mantle of challenge. Notice what happened. It came to pass as they were stewing on and talked. There appeared chariots of fire and horses of fire and parted them asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried, my father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them into two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell upon that fell from him. Evidently, as Elijah went up, as Elijah was taken out of this world and raptured, if you will, he left behind something. He left that. Hey, can you see as Elisha begins to reach out for Elijah, what came down? It was that mantle. And you see it fall at his feet, that mantle falling at his feet. He had just spent the last 10 years training for this moment. Elisha was the heir apparent. He was the next prophet of Israel. He was the main guy. He'd been training for this for the last 10 years. He'd walked every step with Elijah. He had walked every mile with him. And this mantle, there was one that was placed on him, on the calling on his life. When Elijah came to Elisha, he was working in the field and he took this mantle and placed it on Elisha, meaning he's going to be the next prophet of Israel. Today, listen, there was a position that was available. There was a position available. Elijah had gone, and now this mantle lie on the ground. The position was available. Listen, there's still some positions available today. Hey, there's some positions for some soul winners. Hey, there's some positions for some godly Sunday school teachers. There's some positions open for some people to lead some godly children, to lead some children, to work in a nursery. There's some positions available. I'm convinced we ought to take a help wanted sign and put out in front of the church when the people come into the sanctuary. Help wanted. There's some positions available that you can fill. Hey, we need a church these days that are a generation of laymen and of preachers that will say, to live is Christ, not my job, not my extracurricular activities, not my softball game. To live is Christ, to say I am crucified with Christ, to rip the garments of an old self life and take up the mantle and offer to God a living daily sacrifice. Because Chronicles 16:9 is still true. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards Him. He's still looking for people to show Himself strong. He's still looking for people to use. He's still looking for people to preach. He's still looking for people to witness. His eyes are running to and fro. Have they locked in on you? There's a position available. There's a mantle that is falling in the church today. Take it up and work for the glory of God. Not only do we come to serve, not only come to worship, but we come to serve Him. To go out and be laborers in the vineyard. To work for the Father, to take up the mantle and continue the ministry. Not only was the position available, but not only that, but the power was authoritative. This mantle was the symbol of a prophet's authority. When Israel saw a man wearing this mantle, they said that is a prophet of God. Hey, listen, I don't have to reach to very far to make the application here. Hey, what is my authority? Hey, what lets me run into the rescue mission and spit and snort and holler and yell at them men saying you need to repent and turn and come to Christ and you need to get right, make things right with God? Who's my authority to do that? I'm telling you, it's the Word of God. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. All the authority I need are contained on these onion skin pages with red and black ink on it. I've got the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness. I've got everything that I need. All the authority I need is in this blessed old book. I think about C.L. Roach. If you ever go on the internet, look for his message, How God Makes Arrows. And C.L. Roach preached a message out of Isaiah 49:2, and he said, and He hath made my mouth a sharp sword, and in the shadow of His hand hath He hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In His quiver hath He hid me. And Brother C.L. Roach began to talk about how God makes arrows. He runs them through the fire, and He bends them, and He makes them straight, and He cuts and scrapes on them. He cuts those little nicks, those little branches that could harm the archer's hand. He goes and straightens them out and cuts and nicks and removes anything that might hurt the archer. And then He coats it with oil until he can see his own face in the reflection. Then the archer places the arrow in the quiver. You know, as a young preacher and a one that has a zeal for God and wanting to preach everywhere he can, every place he can, and do everything he can for the Lord, that's the hardest place to be, is in the quiver. In the quiver of God, waiting. All these past 10 years, God has been hacking on Elisha. God has been training Elisha through the ministry of Elijah. He's been whittling away and straightening out and getting all the burrs off of Elisha. Oh, but now in our text is the instance where God reaches in the quiver and pulls out of Elisha and puts the arrow to the bow. And He's waiting on Elisha's approval. Will you let me shoot you? Oh, listen to me tonight. God may be preparing you. This may be the instance where God's reaching into His quiver and He's pulling out a preacher. He's pulling out a Sunday school teacher. He's putting you on the arrow. Get ready. You're about to make a decision. It's a mantle of challenge. There's a challenge laid before us today. That mantle fell before Him was a challenge. Now notice, last of all, not only the missing companion, the mantle of challenge, but notice the moment of choice. The moment of choice. That brings us back to verse 13. It says, and he stood up also, he took up also the mantle of Elisha and that fell from him, And he went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Remember when we said we all have this Jordan River, this body of water that represents death and separation in our own lives. At one time, Joshua and the children of Israel were standing on the bank of the Jordan River, and they were there twice. Do you remember what happened the first time? They doubted God. The 12 spies went out, and 10 gave a bad report, and 2 gave a faithful, trusting God report. They failed the test. They spent 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years for a bad choice when they came to the Jordan River, when they should have died to themselves and trusted in God. 40 years. Don't let that be you. God may be bringing you to that brink of becoming a missionary, that brink, that Jordan River of becoming a preacher, that Jordan River of witnessing, that Jordan River of coming to a place where you die. Don't make the wrong choice. 40 years in the desert. 40 years the second time they believed and trusted. And what happened? The waters parted. They walked upon dry ground. And now for Elisha, this was his moment of choice. This is his moment of choice. What if Elisha had gotten to this place and simply walked away? Some 16 miracles that Elisha had worked would never be recorded in the Scripture. All the miracles of God and all the power of God that was seen in Elisha's life would be gone and erased forever from these Scriptures if he had made the wrong choice. So the same is true with us today. If he is facing you and you're encountering that Jordan River, I suggest you die to yourself. I suggest you go on with God. Go in. Go forward, as the text says in Joshua. Go forward and possess your possessions. And I think about my call to preach and how it seemed as though we were doing the Experiencing God series, and I was in my bedroom studying for it, and it's as though, I don't know whether it was through the lesson or what, God came to me and he seemed to say, "Are you going to trade what I have for you in the future because you have a hang up in talking and getting in front of people? Are you going to..." It was my day of choice. It was my Jordan River to say, "God, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. I'll follow you. I don't know how in the world you'll ever make me a preacher. How in the world you'll ever use me, but I'm going to die today and I'm going to follow you. I'll cross that Jordan River. I'll take my flesh and crucify it. And I'll let you live through me." He used the same mantle. It said he took up also the mantle of Elisha. There's a good lesson in that. It wasn't nothing new. He didn't sit down and find a different mantle, a more colorful mantle. He used the same old mantle that he always had. He didn't try a new get a direction. He didn't try a new method. He didn't try a new means, a new way of crossing, about trying to build a bridge or something like that. He didn't try a new way. He just did the way he'd been taught. You remember earlier in our text how Elisha did it? He folded that mantle over and smote the waters and they parted. Elisha used the same method. Look at verse 14. "And he took the mantle of Elisha that fell from him and he smote the waters and said, 'Where is the Lord God of Elijah?'" He did it exactly the same way. How true it is for us. Colossians 2:7, "Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught." God's not looking for a new kind of Christianity. He wants a good demonstration, a new demonstration of Christianity. He wants the same old thing, the same blessed old book, the same thing in Acts, the same way of going about and doing the Lord's work. Not nothing new. Not nothing fancy, just doing it the same way how they've done it before. He used the same method, not only that, but he looked to the same master. Look at verse 14. "And he said," he smote the waters, "and he said, 'Where is the Lord God of Elijah?' And when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over." Elisha went over. He looked to the same master. I think this is the most important part of the message. This is what I want to emphasize so importantly and stress to you so much. I want you to realize this. Spurgeon said, "It is as though he cried, 'Thou who wast with Elisha, be thou also with me.'" Elisha called the same God that heard Elijah's prayer, who provided for Elijah's needs, who raised the dead, who sent down fire, divided the Jordan River in the past, who took Elijah home in a blaze of glory. Elisha was calling on the same God.
It's the same God of today. Amen? Amen? Let me hear you say amen out there. I serve the same God today that they served back then. The same God today is the one that was back then. I'm serving the same God. I'm secured by the same God. I'm serving the same God. Malachi 3:16, for I am the Lord. I change not. I change not. He's still the most powerful God. The most powerful God today. Oh, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm still worshiping the same God of Peter. I'm still worshiping the same God of Paul. I'm in the service of the same God of Martin Luther, of John Knox. I'm serving the same God of Charles Haddon Spurgeon and Finney and Moody and all of these great men of the past. With God used in mighty ways, I serve the same God. I work for the same God. I have access to the same power. Oh, but does God have that access to me? Oh, listen, die to ourselves. You've got to die to yourself to go on with God, to follow Him. You come to your Jordan River and you say, I'm going to die. Let me die to myself. I like what A.W. Tozer said. God never changes moods, cools off in His affections, or loses His enthusiasm. He's still the same God today that He was back then. Oh, listen, if you're approaching that Jordan River today, why don't you say, where is the Lord God of Elijah? I'm calling the same God that Elijah called. Why don't you move and work for me like you did for them? Why don't you come to the Jordan River and die to yourself? Die to that past. I know that the missing companion's there, that one that was there for so long that trained you. I know he's gone now. But your moment to stand by the Jordan River. Don't make the wrong choice. Don't make a 40-year-long choice about the Jordan River. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I pray that You take this message and use it for Your glory. God, maybe there's someone out there that has approached that Jordan River. Oh, they're wanting to make a decision for You. They're come to face with the grips of what You'd have them to do. God, help them to die to self. Help them to take up that mantle of challenge and call on the same God and fold it over and whip that water and have it part for them. And that question, where's the Lord God of Elijah? Have them smelt the waters and You'll part them, Father. You'll do a work in their life, God. Let them die to self. Let me die to self in other areas of my life. I know I've done it before. There are many Jordan Rivers. And God, I pray that You'd help me to make those right decisions. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please tune in next week for Tracy Tribbett bringing the message. God bless you.
It is our prayer that today's message has been a help and blessing to you. If you would like to receive a free CD copy of today's message, simply write to Brother Ronnie at Calvary Came Through, care of Temple Baptist Church, 3204 Clio Avenue, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37407. This program is also rebroadcast on the Internet at www.calvarycamethrough.info. You can email Brother Ronnie at rbrown@calvarycamethrough.info. Please join us again next week at this same time as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and how Calvary can come through for you.